First reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. With these brief words, we praise the third person of the Holy Trinity when we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, we say. And seemingly that's it concerning him. For we continue the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. It isn't like the first article of the Creed, where we confess the person, God the Father, and continue on concerning him, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. In the second article, again, we confess the person, Jesus Christ, his only Son, and continue with detail concerning his divine and human natures, and all that he has done for us and for our salvation. The third article, though, is not like these. I believe in the Holy Spirit, we say. And that's it about him. Or is it? When we confess I believe in the Holy Spirit, we ascribe him equal honor with the Father and Jesus. Yet as we confess the Church, forgiveness, bodily resurrection, and everlasting life, we haven't left the Holy Spirit behind. For these are his work. Apart from him, these things would not be. Tonight's reading from 1 Corinthians helps make this clear. As we pick it up, St. Paul is quoting from Isaiah, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Luther is quite right when he teaches us to confess, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. If no one had shown you and you hadn't been told, how could you believe anything? Now, depending on the circumstances, you might have been able to imagine the thing, but not necessarily. When I teach about this in confirmation classes, I often have asked, do you believe that I had that for breakfast this morning? And the students give me a blank stare, not much different than some of the other blank stares they give me, and say, huh? What in the world are you talking about? And they're right. How can they believe unless they've been told what I ate or actually saw me eating the thing? Sometimes I'll have a creative student suggest that I ate cold cereal or maybe eggs and toast. But that's just their imagination, and they're always wrong. So it is with the gospel. No eye has seen it. No ear heard it. No heart imagined it. What God has done for you in Jesus Christ, you would never know if it had not been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And this is true of the facts involved, but goes even beyond them. Consider the Jewish leaders who stood below the cross mocking Jesus as he died. Or Saul, before his experience on the road to Damascus. They had information, facts, but they lacked faith. Perhaps they heard of the preaching of Peter on Pentecost. But if they did, they considered it absolute foolishness. What did Jesus' death have to do with them? Certainly there was nothing in it for their benefit. St. Paul explains, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. According to your natural abilities, your sight, and hearing, and imagination, you are incapable of knowing, understanding, and believing that on the cross, Jesus died for your benefit, paid the price for your sins, earned for you, a sinner who deserved hell, forgiveness, and eternal life. Even hearing these words wouldn't do you any good apart from the Holy Spirit. You consider it all foolishness, silly superstition, if the Holy Spirit didn't work through the words to bring you to believe that they are true, that everything Jesus did, he did for you, and that because of what he has done, God's righteous wrath has been appeased. And he has only mercy and grace in store for you. It's perhaps possible to think that the heart might imagine such a thing. But even apart from the words that St. Paul quotes from Isaiah, we can quickly dismiss that possibility. God becoming man so that he could die for the sins of those who had rebelled against him? And bless them as his own children? Who has ever thought of such a thing? There's no example of it in all the myths and religions in the history of the world. Greek philosophy had no room for such foolishness. Even God's own people, the Jews, regarded it as a blasphemous teaching. A vengeful God, we can imagine. An indulgent one, who grades on a generous curve, perhaps. But one who reconciles his own absolute righteousness with his pure love by the death on a cross of his only Son? Never. Even for us who believe it, it remains a mystery whose depths we cannot plumb. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for you in Jesus Christ, these things God has revealed to you through the Spirit. Through God's word, which you hear, and with which you were washed with water, and which accompanies the bread and wine in which Jesus gives you also his body and blood, through these the Holy Spirit is active. It's through these that he called you to faith. It's through these that God claimed you as his own dear child. It's through these that he forgives you your sin day after day. It's through these that the Spirit will sustain you in your trust in Jesus until the day when your eyes are fully opened and your ears hear perfectly and you no longer need the Spirit's help, for you will see God face to face and you will know fully, even as you are fully known. It's the Holy Spirit who is at work when the law accuses you and your conscience is led to the truth. You are the man. You have broken God's law. You have earned his wrath. For through this law, this Spirit is working to turn you from your sin and to lead you back into the welcoming arms of the gospel. The open arms of the crucified one who says to you, I suffered for you. I died for you. My death is for you, the death you deserved, so that you can join me in my resurrection. The Spirit rejoices always to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, to remind you constantly of his love and mercy and gracious invitation, come to me and I will give you rest. He wants you to understand the things God has freely given to you. He gives you the mind of Christ to discern and understand God's will. He strengthens you to do God's will, to live as a child of God. And when you sin, he calls you again to repent and believe the gospel. Believe that for Jesus' sake you are forgiven and restored, cleansed and redeemed. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, who by word and sacrament brings you to trust in Jesus' work for you, gifting you with the faith through which you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in you, bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Redeemer. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.